Open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Actually, we're going to read this morning the first 7 verses of chapter 2. Let's stand and look at chapter 2. I'll read the first verse, you read the second, and so on, up to and through the 7th. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made.
These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth, which they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens.
And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground.
But there was nothing amidst the earth, and watered the whole face of the ground.
And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Let's pray. Father, we have your word in our hands, and we are thankful for it. I pray you'd give us the help we need to see spiritually and to live unto you. I pray, God, you would strengthen our faith, and I pray you'd meet every need in this room today. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, please. Chapter 1 that we read last week, I read it before we did an introduction to the book of Genesis. And it's not complete without chapter 2 up to verse 7 at least. Because it says there in chapter 2, verse 4, these are the generations of the heaven and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. This is a continuation of chapter 2. And what you'll have is, he said he made man right there in the first chapter, and he tells you a little more how he made man when he came to the second chapter. But the first thing I would like to think about is faith. It's very hard to prove anything to anybody. I don't care how much proof you got. It's very hard to prove anything to anybody. And the Bible, you've got so many detractors that you just have to take it by faith. And that's what the Bible tells you. And the Bible says you can't please God without faith. You do not please God if you do not believe God. And I've pointed them out many times, and I will again, in the beginning God. The first four words of the Bible, the first four words of this book of Moses. In the beginning, God. There's your beginning. Everything came from Him. Everything came from His mind, His wisdom, His creativity. Good night. Are we dealing with a great super brain or not? I've met some smart people in life. I'm not too dumb myself, but I've met some smart, smart people. They don't compare. They don't compare to the design in all of us. The very idea that you could take one cell out of this body and make another me. And it wouldn't make a you. It'd make another me. Because that's the way it's programmed. And that's a design. And these computer programmers, they ought to have an insight into this. If you've got stuff like DNA that has all of these characteristics of you, and you are so different, there's no one else in the world or in all of history past like you. You ever think about that? Now, we're all adults in here. We don't have any kids. But I understand that there's hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of sperm in every intercourse, and there's one egg in a woman. And each one of those little seed sperm have some different characteristics. Now, some of us were born to be tall, and some of us were born to be short. And some of us were born to be skinny, and some of us were born to be fat. You say, oh, no, you just eat too much. No, no, some of you couldn't gain a pound if you ate 50 bananas a day. You know it's true. I went on a fast with a friend of mine, Don Welburn. Some of you know him. He's dead now. But I went on a fast with him one time, and we were together, and I think we fasted about a week or so. And we both lost about 5 pounds. It took him a year to get his 5 pounds back. Mine was back in a week. About the first meal I had, I mean, you know, it's gone. Already back again. So we're different. And the reason why we're different, God designed it that way. Can you imagine the intelligence to design something like that? And then for you, thinking about you, just you yourself, you were created by God's plan. How about those, out of those millions of seeds coming out of that man and that one egg in the woman, and this particular seed gets there and makes you? That's fabulous. I'm getting a little ahead of myself right here, but do you notice 7 times in chapter 1 it says, after his kind. After his kind. You know what? There's an old saying, the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. And the acorn don't fall too far from the tree. You understand what I'm talking about? Bless your heart. There are just so many chances for you. But you're going to have some characteristics of your mother and father. They're inbred in you. And God meant it to be that way. And it is marvelous in my sight. Now, when I say, in the beginning, God, I'm saying that may be the most important statement in the Bible. If you don't believe in God, you're through. You're not going any further. If you don't believe in God, then you certainly won't believe in Jonah and the whale. And you might say, oh, Jonah says big fish. Yeah, but Jesus says whale in the New Testament. So I know what that big fish was. If Jesus said so, it's got to be true. Don't get confused. You can believe anything. You can believe that old Daniel went over there and fluffed up that big lion and laid down on him and went to sleep. And he comes out of it without anything, and then his detractors are thrown in there and they get eaten up. You can believe that a young shepherd boy, about 17 years old, was so good with a sling and a stone, he didn't need a sword. And he could hit that giant. Giant got that mail and that armor, and he said, what? They're sending some kid out here, some snot-nosed kid, coming out to fight me. I'm a 10-foot-tall giant warrior from my youth. And David said, whoop! Buried it right there. And then just to make sure he didn't wake up, he took the guy's sword and cut his head off. You know, all these things. All you have to do is come to the very first conclusion of faith, God. And that's number one. You don't go any further if you don't get there. Now, what is this God? Well, he's almighty. Well, we're told, the only book we have about him really is the one we're preaching from today, the Bible. Now, it's been translated into many languages. But it says God created everything. It says God is. And it says you ought to believe God is. Amen? You ought to believe God is. That's the basis of everything. Now, I don't know. I don't know how far back it goes. I may go to my grandmother Kincaid. We lived with her when I was a little baby. And she told me Bible stories all the time. But when I met up with atheism or agnosticism or just simple unbelief that wasn't too clinical. It never had a temptation for me. Never. All my life I believe there's a God. Now, I have to say you got to take it by faith, but for me, it was simply experience. When I see a chair, I think about a chair maker. When I see a watch, I think about a watchmaker. So when I look at a man, I think about a man maker. Where'd he come from? Somebody made him. Somebody made Adam and Eve. Now you noticed after his kind. Eve never bore a monkey. I'm sorry, she just didn't do it. Not an orangutan, not a gorilla, not some caveman. I don't know how many people lived in caves. Some people did. Generally, they're the village idiots. Isn't that right? They have to get off away from everybody else, you know, and so people shun them and put them out there. So they find some real deformed skulls somewhere in some cave. That doesn't prove anything to me. In the beginning, God. That's the basis of the book. And if you can believe that, if you can come up with God, you shouldn't have any problem believing anything else this book says. I've read the whole thing quite a few times. And there's not anything in there that the belief in God wouldn't substantiate. Now, what kind of a God are we talking about? Almighty. Almighty. He's not limited. I'm limited. I'm limited in my brain power. I'm limited in my abilities. I'm limited in the age of my life. I am limited in, say, thousands of ways. I know I have many limitations, and some of them I recognize. I don't like to write. I've written a whole lot of stuff out there. But I don't like to write. I'd rather talk. My wife and I and our discouragement, you know, I've been messing around with that girl for 61 years. That's a long time. I've been married to her 59 years, over 59 years. I will go in and we'll be talking about something we disagree on. And by the way, we disagree. Whoa, you mean we don't agree on everything? It's amazing how much we do agree upon, but we disagree. She doesn't think like me. That's her mistake. I will go in and I will tell her, now look, this. And the next morning I'll have an envelope with a letter on it on my pillow. She writes. I talk, she writes. Then I take her letter and I walk in there and say, yeah. Next morning there's a letter on my pillow. That's the way we work things out. In the beginning, God. Faith. Almighty God. Can He do anything? Now, people say, well, how many angels can stand on the point of a needle? These are stupid questions. You know? Can God make a rock so big He can't move it? These are philosophical questions. They study them in college. But it's absolute stupidity. Now, if He's all powerful, He can do everything this Bible claims He's done. Isn't that right? See, I don't have a problem with that. And all my life, I don't ever remember being even tempted by atheism, by evolution, by agnosticism. When I was living away from God, I knew there was a God. Amen. And I had a fear of having to face Him someday. So I don't think that I was drawn by love or sweet words. I think I was drawn to God by fear. I was afraid of hell. And as long as I could convince myself that, well, I'm better than most people, you know, surely I'll fall within the, you know. And once I came to think, you are a sinner and you deserve hell. Right then, I fell on my face before God, and He changed my life. He's all powerful. Think about the power of God that He can change a life. You think how big that is? Do you know how much money is spent each year people trying to get their lives changed? Experts, PhDs, THDs. They're giving people advice and they're giving people medicine. And they sure have a hard time changing them up, don't they? I don't know how many times drug addicts, alcoholics, others that have an addiction, go to rehab and get out and go back. One of the simplest reasons is they don't change their friends and they don't change their ways. So you have an obligation. If you're going back with the same friends that have been giving you the drugs, sooner or later they're going to get you to take one. I had a blessing when I got saved. I changed all my friends. I didn't mean to. They just left me. I made all new friends at this nice new church I was going to. Why? Because I was an instant fanatic. God's almighty. And I believe He can do what He says He can do. And I believe He can do a whole lot more than what you think He can do. I believe He is so smart. I used to think, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God about this or ask God about that. Question God about this or question God about that. Why did you do it this way, Lord? You know what? You're just going to be so awestruck at the mightiness of God, you're going to fall down at His feet like dead. John was Jesus' best friend. But Jesus glorified in Revelation chapter 1, John doesn't say, hey, buddy. He falls at His feet as dead. The awesomeness of this Almighty God. Another thing about God, He's invisible. He's everywhere. But you don't see Him. How many people think they're getting away with something because they got the blinds shut, the doors closed, and the lights out? No. You're just like you're in God's living room. And He's sitting in His easy chair over there watching you. He's invisible. Now, a couple of times in my life, in my own experience, I have had God just really move in an amazing way. So much that it shocked me. I was in the military, and I got saved. Now, I'm a little two-stringer. Back in my day, we had way too many people in the military, and they weren't making rank. And I was stuck there. I went in on the promotion list 29 times, number one. That's pretty good. But I didn't get the stripe. Well, I'd been witnessing to all these guys. I witnessed to the officers. I witnessed. Might have been my mistake. I witnessed to the officers. I witnessed to the sergeants. I witnessed to the bums like me. And I worked nights. I worked nights for several years. I loved working nights because I stayed up all night. I could just nap in a chair, you know, and be fine. Go out and play with Verlene all day long and go back to work, you know. They pulled me off of nights, put me on the first day shift, and ordered me to work the weekend and to not go to church. They ordered me, this officer, second lieutenant, ordered me not to go to my church. And I told him, I said, you'll find me Sunday morning at 1009 West Alameda Street, Roswell, New Mexico, Calvary Baptist Church. I'll be teaching my Sunday school class. I'll be out here at 1. I disobeyed the direct order of an officer. I'm telling you, on Monday, they put me before the colonel. Not one of these guys with little leaves, a guy with an eagle sitting up here. Next thing to a general. He was my major boss. He told me how they were going to put me in jail and throw away the key. In fact, he thought about jacking it up, putting me under it, and letting it down. I mean, he put the fear of God in me. I went home, and I told my wife, you better get ready to go to your mama's because I'm going to jail. I decided I'd walk out and talk to a chaplain. I never had much use for chaplains, but I did. I walked out and talked to a chaplain. He was a major. He was 2 degrees below my leader, Fulbert Colonel. I talked to this chaplain. I told him, I said, they gave me what I knew to be a wrong order, and so I disobeyed it. And he said, you're right. He said, let me know your pastor's name and your church and whatever, you know. And so I told him, gave him the address, telephone number of the church. And by the way, I was known at that church. Because when I got saved, I went to every meeting. I just went there all the time. That ladies' meeting, I went to a lot of ladies' meetings. I went to Sunday school meetings. I went to preaching. I was out preaching in the streets. Then I was out visiting old people in their homes, and I was being called to preach in different churches all around. So I was known. My pastor knew me. Now, some of you might call somebody and say, call up Brother Kincaid, and I couldn't remember your name because you're not here all the time. You're not shaking my hand. You're not tripping me as I walk through the door or something. He knew me, and evidently he gave me a good report. I went back to that chaplain. He told me to come back, and he said, you made a mistake. You disobeyed the order, direct order of an officer. He said, next time, obey him, but tell me first. And he said, we'll lock that Russian Jew and whatever, you know, up in prison themselves. He said, you're going to be all right. I thanked him and went to see my colonel. My colonel said, you know, you've been a pretty good soldier. You've gone in high on promotion list. Never had anything wrong. I'm going to be merciful to you. No, he had just got the pants scared off of him by a chaplain. Because that chaplain told me, they're not going to mess with you. Because I'll see them in jail. They can't give you. I knew the order was wrong. I knew it was the wrong order. He said, next time they give you a wrong order, do it, but tell me. And when you do it and you obey it, then you've got them. You obeyed them, see. Now, the result of that was everybody out there was afraid of me. They were scared to death of me. They took me off the flight line. I didn't work any more nights. They put me out at a job that a staff sergeant does. And I actually had staff sergeants working for me, and I only had 2 strings on my arm. A miracle. I mean, instead of going to jail, I didn't work another Sunday. The rest of my time in service. Good night. They said, get him away from us. He's dangerous. He might go to the chaplain. We might all end up in jail, whatever. That was God.
Amen.
That was God telling me, Lindell, I'm with you. I'm behind you. I'll take you all the way. And it was an amazing time the rest of my tour. He's invisible. Let me tell you what it does. He's in every room. He's everywhere at all times. You're never away from him. You cannot hide from him. You cannot escape. If you go out into the sea, he's there. If you go down to hell, he's there. If you go up to the heavens, he's there. You cannot get away from God. He's invisible. You don't see him, but he's there. One other thing I think about God, he's immortal. He's not going to die. I'm going to die. My daddy died. My mother died. I'm going to die. You're going to die. Yeah. Death is coming your way. You're going to wear... You know, I used to be strong and had more energy than I could hardly use. What happened to it? I got old. There was a doctor in the hospital kept wanting to keep Berline in there, and Berline... She doesn't do well on hospital beds. She, for the last 3 years, she's slept in her chair. And she's only got certain places that she can get to be without pain, even with the medicine. And I kept telling them, I said, I need to take her home. She's never going to get any better sitting on this hospital bed. They didn't move her. They never got her out of the bed, not one time. I said, she's an old woman. You're going to keep finding things wrong with this old woman. She's not young. Yeah, she's got this problem, this problem, this problem, and this problem. We just came in for pneumonia. The pneumonia's cured. Let me take her home. And I finally had to threaten. I said, I am taking her home. You're old. Things wear out. And by the way, not just one thing wears out. There's about 15 things wearing out all along. Now, if you had a lucky youth where you just were healthy as could be and never had any problems but a sniffle every once in a while, that's great. Some people very young have some very, very bad problems, but let me tell you what, when you get old, you're going to have them. The worst disease I can think of is old age. It'll get you. It hurts you. God's immortal. He's not going to get old and die. You know what? What's wrong with all the popes? They always make an old man pope. And the old man don't last too long. He's going to die. Well, that was what happened with all the priests. You had a real good priest. He dies. You got a good man like Eli. Well, he gets bad news and falls over and breaks his neck. He dies. You got to look for another priest. You get a Samuel, and he's a priest. And he's getting old. And the people say, we want a king. Why do we want a king? We don't like your sons. They didn't have a criticism against Samuel. They had a criticism against his sons. They knew they were going to inherit the priesthood, and they did not want them to be their priests because they were wicked men. Eli failed with his sons, and Samuel failed with his sons. God doesn't fail. He doesn't fail. He's immortal. He's never been sick a day in his life. He has no failings. He has no weaknesses. Can he do what he wants to do? Yes, he can. I think that's just a tremendous thing to think about. My God, He's almighty, He's invisible, and He's immortal. Look at verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God moved. God moved. You know how this earth came in being? God moved. I don't care how much wisdom some of these scientists have. They have never found another planet like the earth. They keep talking like finding planets like the earth, but they don't seem to have water. They don't seem to have life. They don't seem to have anything living on them. They're not like the earth. God took out of this thing and made this one ball absolutely tremendous. It has air. We need air. It has dirt. As Tennessee Ernie would say, in 16 tons, a man's made out of mud. Well, that's sort of what the Bible says. He took the dust of the ground and made man. And what do you go back to? If they don't put you, now today they put you in a cement crypt and they seal that thing and they put your casket inside there and you're embalmed. But in the days before embalming and before these cement crypts, you went back to the ground. You went back to the dust of the earth. And by the way, not only we are, but every animal that He made. God moved, and I want you to know the reason why we have this earth and the reason why we're alive and we're here. God moved. God moves. Sometimes you don't think He moves fast enough for you, but God moves. There's another verse in here, verse 7. It says, God made. God made the firmament. By the way, that's the heaven. God made it. He divided the land from the sea. And He divided the waters that were on the earth from the waters that are way up there. And I don't know exactly where they are. They might be that crystal lake in front of the throne of God. I'm not sure, but there's other waters. God made. Those are tremendous statements. God moved. God made. And then verse 21, look at it. God created. God created. All of those are telling you that God's on the move. God's doing something. And the reason why you're here, and the reason why you've had the pleasure you've had, the reason why you've got a Bible like this, is God did some moving. He made some things. Now I want you to look at verse 21. God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every wing fell after his kind, and God saw that it was good. God created great whales. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? I can take it. Definitely it was the chicken. God made chickens. And he made every living thing with the power to reproduce after their kind. Chickens don't become ducks. Dogs don't become horses. Humans don't become animals. Everything reproduces after its own kind. The seed is in itself. The seed of your life is in you. And there's male and female. Well, by the way, in not just humans, not just in animals, but in the plant structure and in the amoebas and protozoas and all the other stuff they got. It's amazing to me how great God is and how interdependent we are. There are things living inside of me that I could not recognize and know, but I wouldn't be alive if they weren't alive. If they died in me. You know, the life of the flesh is in the blood. You ever heard that? Go to a hospital. They'll take vials of blood out of you all the time. I'm an old diabetic, so they take them out of me every few months. They'll get four. They'll stick this big needle in there, and they'll punch one in and two, and they'll ask me my birth date, and they'll put it on and be sure they got it right. What are they checking? Your life. Your whole life is written in your blood. And if your blood gets bad, you're dead. That's right. God created great whales. I would have liked to have been there on about the first week after creation and seen some of those things. Great whale? How old is that thing? It's just a week, man. It's just a week old. But it's 60 feet long. Maybe 80 feet long. It weighs tons. It has the ability to reproduce itself. Yeah, well, take a look at Adam and Eve. You know what Adam said when he saw Eve? He said, "Whoa, man." He said, "Whoa, man." And man's been saying that ever since. Whoa, man. Have a doctor. Have the smartest doctor you can have. And have him come out there with you in the first week after creation and take a look at Eve and say, how old do you think she is? 30? 25? I think that's about the solid prime of life, somewhere around 30, 32 or 3. Well, that's a 30-year-old woman. No, she's 1 week old. He got a big old turtle swimming by, one of those great big things. They took a pair of boots away from me one time. I bought them in Mexico, and I got into the United States, and they were banned. They took them off my feet. I was wearing them. That's right. They took my boots, my brand new turtle boots. They were illegal. But that great big turtle comes swimming by. How old is he? 150 years. No, he's 1 week. God Almighty moved. God Almighty created. He created the whales and every living thing. Now, seven times I told you, it says after his kind. I think that's tremendous. How to create something that could reproduce itself, and yet what's reproduced is different. Unique. Nobody else like it. Twins. I taught school for 20-odd years. I taught a lot of twins. And the first week they walk into the room, I can't tell one from another. They were that close. But you give me about 3 months with them, and I could tell which one was which. Because they're different. They're twins. They look exactly alike. They're supposed to have a whole lot of the same DNA and everything. No. They're different. Everybody out here, can you imagine a mind that could do that? Oh, I've got a copy machine. It'll just make the same copy over and over and over again. There's no difference in it. But to make human beings and make them all different, make animals, make them all different, and make every one of them reproduce after his particular kind. That's something. And then the absolute variety of after his own kind. We're still humans. The differences of us in here today, just the differences in us with this small church. Boy, we're different. And yet, we were all reproduced humans. After his kind. We're not a different breed. We got the same blood. I don't care if you're tall or short, black or white, red or yellow. If you got the same blood as this fellow over here, you can just trade blood. You can keep him alive. After his kind, I think, boy, how could you make it more simple? You don't need a college degree to understand this chapter. You don't have to have somebody give you real instruction. It's simple. It's poetic. It's beautiful. And it's lasted throughout the years. I'm amazed. I will be tempted to go to a movie that's made like Adam, Noah, David and Bathsheba, whatever, you know, Bible thing. I am continually amazed at the audacity of these directors that they change the greatest stories in the world. And the changes they make are stupid. Why? It adds nothing. Doesn't make it better. These are stories that have been told for 4,000 years at least. Maybe 6,000 years. So simple, so plain, a child can't understand it. And yet a PhD can't drain it of everything. It's amazing. God moved, God made, God created after His kind. Now, I see four miracles in here that are to me miracles. They're not named as miracles in the Bible. I'm calling them miracles when I'm telling them to you. And the first one is creation. I have some furniture made by Amish people. Beautiful piece of work. I mean, they do good work. They create some fantastic things with just simple tools. Without all of our modern tools. What did God do? In creation? Do you ever get tired of looking at birds? They fascinate me. I've got all sorts of birds in my front yard. And, wow, the splotches of paint over some of those birds? Can you imagine they can reproduce another one just like them? But they can. And what about you? Somebody was saying, Bill Cosby, he was having a problem with his son. And he tells his son that I can take you out and make another one just like you. Pretty well the truth, you know. Creation. Can you imagine creating everything that within it, it has the power to reproduce itself, but not exactly the same? Variations. Tremendous variations. The creation of the universe, that just blows my mind. The bigger the telescope you get, the bigger the binoculars you get, all you see is more stars. They've never come to the end of it. Not with the Hubble, not with the new one they're trying to put out there right now. They've never come there. What they find is more stars, and they're all supposed to be fleeing away. It's amazing. That was some big bang. I believe God did the banging. This tremendous universe, the vastness of it, doesn't that stagger you? It does me. It does me. When they came out with DNA, and I think it was National Geographic that printed an article on it, the first I think I ever read about it. It fascinated me. Wow. That's in all of us? That's in all of us. I am programmed right down to where my eyebrows are going to be and what color my eyes are and whether I have good teeth or bad teeth. Whether I have a strong back and a weak mind. Whether I'm tall or I'm short. And a thousand other things. Down to the color and shades of my eyes. And then I look at all my kids. They got different eyes. I got some of them that change color. Wow. I don't understand all this stuff. How about eyesight? Creating eyesight? Do you realize how many kinds of eyesight there are? And there are maybe millions. I know there are thousands. You heard of eagle eyes? Well, an eagle has eyes that from thousands of feet in the air can see a rabbit on the ground. That's eagle eyes. I don't have eagle eyes. Now, my wife has eagle hearing. She has way too sensitive a hearing. And I'm about half deaf. Creation. I think it's tremendous. I think there's another miracle right here close to it. It's life. Life. That's a miracle. Do you know life always comes from life? That's why I don't believe in evolution. That's one of my major reasons. Life always comes from life. And you know what prehistoric is? It means before written records. Historic is we have a written record. So this is historic. The Bible is historic. It's a written record. Prehistoric is beyond, before written records. And so they want to go back into prehistoric and tell us what happened there. How do you know? You big dummy. Nobody knows what happened prehistoric. I don't care if you dig around in the soil. I studied geology. Wow. The assumptions that are made by geologists are sometimes, wow. In history, in the recorded history of mankind, there are no missing links. You ever found one? We don't even find fossils of them. There are no missing links. Everything reproduces after its kind. And life always comes from life. Even if they clone somebody, and boy, they had to be smart to do that. To clone that sheep? To do that just blows my mind. They're smart people. They're a whole lot smarter than me. Well, let me tell you what I know. They took life and made another life. They didn't create life. They had to get it from life. And far as I'm concerned, that's one of the biggest errors of evolution. They say that life came from nothing. No, life came from God. And life is a tremendous miracle. I was listening to a man who had been on a farmer until he joined the Air Force back around World War II. And though he became a very famous man and was very wealthy, he said himself, he never could get away from the miracle of life. Planting a tomato seed in the ground, putting a little water on it, and that thing coming up and producing a bunch of tomatoes with thousands of seeds. Life. It's great. It's absolutely great. Think how wonderful it is. You couldn't enjoy anything else if you didn't have life. Amen. You ought to be thankful you got today. Amen. You got to enjoy some things today. Maybe you'll get to enjoy some more. Creation and life. And then reproduction. It's something to create something. Somebody created this chair. But this chair can't reproduce itself. It can't do anything but be a chair. Do you realize the vast intelligence it took, the planning it took, the wisdom it took to create you and you can reproduce yourself? To create an apple tree and you plant an apple falls down somewhere, another tree grows. And that one inside itself is the seed to reproduce itself just like the mother or the father or the grandfather somewhere down the line. That's a miracle. Reproduction. After his kind, after his kind. And it says in there, chapter 1, 2, or 3, I don't know, the seed was in itself. Reproducing after his kind with the seed in itself. Wow. God just gets bigger to me the more I study Him. Getting older, I don't feel like I cheated myself back when I accepted Christ and became a stupid fanatic and became nuts over the Bible and changed my whole life. After His kind, tremendous, tremendous. And God said, very good. Now, to me, Psalm 19, I want to read the first six verses. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. What? The heavens! The heavens! What? Declare the glory of God. When I look at the heavens, I think God. When I look at life, I think God. When I look at this world, I thank God. The heavens declare the glory. See, it's almost proven to me. It's a very simple step of faith. You don't have to have great big steps of faith ever so often. That one big step of faith, the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament, that's the heavens, showeth His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. No speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Everywhere around this world, the sun rises and the sun sets. The moon comes up. Now, personally, I can't go out and do much more than give you the North Star and the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper, or maybe down in the southern half, give you the Southern Cross. But do you realize what people did throughout history? They studied the stars. They called them by their names. They were guided by them. They made stories about them. Wow. The heavens declare the glory of God. To me, that's proof. That's proof to me. There is a God. This didn't just happen. This, with all of its intricate detail and the complexity of it, it didn't happen. It's not by chance. I heard someone say about computer programs ought to believe in God. Programmers. Why? They know that everything happens on that computer had to be written down beforehand. It's written down in a code. It's written down in instructions. It's written down, this is the way it's going to go. And that's exactly what happened to you. Heavens declare the glory of God. Their speech, day and night, showeth knowledge. Man, you ought to know God. There's another verse. I'll close with it. Don't have enough time really for it, but John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Capitalized, by the way. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men.
Amen.
You know where it came from? God.
Amen.
All of it's God, and Jesus is God.
Amen.
Well, we'll see how far we can get next week, Lord willing.